Blog Talk Radio.
Sleeping with the lights on, buried in regrets, breaking into sweats, naked as a falling leaf. Well, it's a natural reaction, driven to distraction, clawing at the ghost you'll never meet. Oh, and I don't know where they go when they vanish in the corners of my eyes. And I don't know why, I don't know if they stay below the rise up to the sky. But I'm letting go, I'm letting go. It's a history that never really grows. I'm letting go, I'm letting go. It's a silent never really blows. I'm letting go. I'm a slave without a master, heading for disaster, kicking up the dust in the middle of the road. I've been waiting on a free ride, ticket to a seaside thicket on the edge of Puget Sound. There I'll sit, I'll admit that I was only just a guest inside my skin. And by the dawn, I'll be gone, and won't be holding on to anything again. I'm letting go. I'm letting go. It's a history that never really grows. I'm letting go. I'm letting go. It's a silent wind that never really blows. Oh, 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 oh.
Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to A Team of Voices. I'm your host, Crystal Hope, and tonight our topic is going to be of winter flowers. Not something you see that often. Usually you think of flowers, you think of spring or even kind of a little bit of summer, but sometimes you'll be caught off guard when you see something that you think is supposed to be dead and it's not. So that is something kind of that came to mind. That isn't for a topic, but yeah, that's what we're going to be doing some poems on tonight. I have a few different ones. Let's see what callers I have. I do know I've had AP on for quite a long time. AP, are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I thought I had her a minute ago, and then he disappeared.
He does that. He does that. He's there, and then he's not there. He's like a magician, you know. He's sort of on the board and gone. Yeah. Will of the Wisp, all that stuff.
Yeah, because I thought it was a little strange. Because, like I said, as soon as it hit about showtime, he was there, and then next thing I looked at the studio, and he was gone, like, 5 seconds later. I'm like, yeah, nothing's
happening. Yeah, that'd be right. Sounds like him all over. Joy's probably got him something from down the shops, you know, so a whole heap of donuts have probably appeared, and he's got distracted, you know.
Probably.
Yeah, that's my best guess about it.
That's one thing I could guess, too. I might try to leave the show a little short tonight. I had an unexpected surprise last night. I ended up having food poisoning. So I don't even know what really caused it. The only thing I could think was it might have came from the chicken that I had. I'm not sure.
I think the chicken. Yeah, it's the chicken. Let me tell you, you know, it's like Cluedo. It's always the butler in the bloody lounge room. It's the chicken.
Yeah. But, now I see Hatter. But, no, I explained that to Deb and stuff like that because I was going to call on last night's show and then – it was Monday night show that I was going to call and then I ended up not – But I didn't even show up for work yesterday either because I just did not feel like it.
That is a problem. Yuck.
Yeah, so now it's like my stomach's just all over the place. There's sometimes where I'll be like feeling extremely hungry, and then the next thing I know, I don't.
Yep.
And up and down. Yep. So I'm still kind of a little bit recovering from it. So I let Hatter into the door.
Unmuted. Hi, guys.
I was telling AP that I had just seen you pop up as soon as the show started, and then the next thing I know, you disappeared. And he was like, you said you're like a magician.
It was the weirdest thing, because I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear the lady say, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You know, I didn't hear anything.
Oh, okay.
So I had to hang up and call back.
I've had that happen too. It hasn't happened to me a long time ago, but it used to happen when I used to call into shows, and sometimes I would just hear static or something, or or I would just hear silence. I wouldn't hear anything at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I was. I'm also telling AP that I might keep the show a little bit short tonight because the last day or so I've had food poisoning, so I'm still kind of recovering from that. Yeah.
That's no problem.
I didn't call on Deb's show because I was planning on it, and then literally as soon as I was about to call, I started having, really bad abdominal pain, and then, a few hours later, I started throwing up. I'm like, oh, boy. But,
No, thank you.
I don't quite know what did it, though. Saying that the AP, I don't know if, I'm going to guess it was probably the chicken that I had for dinner. That's the only thing I could guess, because anything else just kind of seemed, rolled out. I don't know.
That could be a good thing, because the two times I had it, I know what I ate, and I could not eat anything. I couldn't eat that dish. One of them was crab dip, clam dip, and the other was marinara sauce. I got tomato, some kind of lasagna or something.
Hide everything in marinara sauce.
That's why everything's white sauce with me.
I know. Can't see it, It's a good place to hide stuff.
And the clam, I'm just now starting to be able to eat it. That was 20-something years ago.
Yeah, no, I can't eat it. I'm not a big fan of marinara, Hatter.
Good, me either.
No, there's no way in the world I don't have marinara. Can't force me to have it. It's not happening.
Well, I love lasagna. Lasagna's good, but my pizza's got white sauce on it.
Yeah. There you go. Sorry, Crystal, we're sort of somewhat away from the clouds, but,
I know, but I was just going to say something, too. I know when I was a kid, I ended up eating spaghetti and then throwing it up, and then it was weird, you were saying marinara. I was like, is there something about that just, I do eat spaghetti, though, and I don't mind marinara sauce, but I could get that point, though, of you not wanting to eat it.
Yeah, I know, I don't know what it is, but it's just, you ever done it for me, Crystal? Marinara sauce? I don't know what it is. It just doesn't do it for me.
I mean, like I said, we all have our own things.
We do. That's what makes the world go round, yeah?
That's right.
So, the absence of marinara sauce. Anyway.
That actually might be an interesting show to do. Like a show of foods that you hate and foods that you will not touch.
I thought you were going to say food poisoning. Have a show on TV.
No, I wasn't going to say on food poisoning.
What did it do to you? How do you feel?
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't think anyone would want to call on that show and be like, why is it a show on food poisoning? I'd be like, I ran out of ideas.
You'd be surprised. Everybody needs a reader. Yeah.
Yeah, they probably, or that's nobody would want to comment either.
It's called the gag show.
Nobody would want to come because they would be like, oh, so gross.
Yeah,
bad idea.
It's almost such a bad idea. It's a good one. Anyway.
almost.
I said almost.
Well, AP or Hatter, do either one of you need to read and run, or do you mind if I go ahead and pick another poem, or how are we going
with
this?
Your choice, Crystal.
If you're going to do a short show, I'll hang.
Okay.
I'm home alone.
All right. Well, I might do these a little bit in order then. I know some of them I can't do in order because I might. Hatter, do you know if Deb's going to call or... You don't know. She didn't say anything
I believe she will. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she will.
Okay. I think she's the only person that, she's the only person I would actually need a reader for, because the rest of these are all SoundCloud. And besides,
that's cool.
You two here, which that's awesome for me, because then I have audio. I like when people do. Because if one is convenient, I will say that, but also I love it because you get to hear someone's voice doing it. If I had more time to do SoundCloud, I totally would. Like the first song that you just heard on the show, that was a song that I just wrote recently, and I finally sat down and did some music and recorded it all and stuff like that, like, because I didn't have time. So, yeah, that first song was me. The second one, the second one was just one I play all the time, but the first one was called Love Yourself. That one I wrote just a few days ago.
All right. I'll have to, I missed it. I'll have to replay it.
You have to play it. It was sort of sweet in a Shout Even Shy sort of style. I thought we might have got Shout Even Shy back. It was really cool.
I know with the audio is a little bit messed up. I'm trying to work on the audio, but yeah. Okay.
There you go.
So what I'm going to do first is I'm going to put Stevens on because he was the first one I had. And give me a brief second to find the SoundCloud. Really, just talk among yourselves while I try to find it.
What did you do, Hatter? What got shot?
Well, I was just trying to see, did Stephen and Kay have their show tonight? Was it tonight? No,
I don't know.
I think they had a show tonight, but I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
I want to say they did.
Oh, shoot.
Or maybe they didn't. No, I don't think they actually did have a show tonight. I just looked.
No, I didn't see anything on the
board. Yes, sir.
All right. All right, well, I got Stephen's SoundCloud whenever you guys are ready. You'll have the poem. And
cool.
Go ahead and hit play.
I will start this by reading my author's notes. When going through my grandfather's things after he passed away, we found a bunch of his love letters that he wrote to my grandmother when he was courting her. My mother told me how he would cross-country ski for miles across the very cold Wisconsin snow to see her before he went into the Army to serve in World War II. When he got back, they were married, and they did not part until death. And I call this Grandma and Grandpa by Stephen 76. Cross-country skiing over deep Wisconsin snow, stinging grapple and wispy wind chill 10 below, puffs of breath filtering through yarn scarf knit, sole latched to camber as pole grips don't slip. Layers on torso keeping winter's squall out, ice crystals on lashes and icicles on snout, with frosted red roses in Haversack Bay, Federation's warmth glows from window pane. End poem.
Well, for one thing, I'm already in love with how he started it, with finding the love letters and stuff like that of his grandmother when he was courting her. Another thing that I've often sometimes gotten jealous for people long, 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 long time ago, is people writing love letters, because like now it's like everybody has texting or something like that, or FaceTime or different things like that. And you don't really have, like, those little letters or anything like that. And to me, sometimes that really seems like you sat down, took the time to write to someone, to write out your feelings or whatever. So I just imagine that that's really, really sweet.
Yeah, it's because
he actually found out. Yeah, exactly. But no, and as far as the poem goes, I like the visuals that he gives about the Wisconsin snow and it being, like 10 below and things like that. But again, your warmth, and then you just kind of see those little red roses over in the corner, and like, you don't know how they're living, but they are. But yeah, it's great visual here, especially with the snow. So,
you know, I think one reason that I was married for 25 years is for the first 10, well, I don't know how many years, but when she was working, before we had kids, I would show up every Friday with a rose. We had roses in our front yard, so I would pick a rose and take it to her work and show up at lunchtime when I worked in the area. did that for quite a while. So she thought that was. Oh, and then at the Christmas party, all the other husbands of the other techs sort of cornered me in the room and said, "You got to knock it off, man. Make this look bad." They would hear it from their wife. She gets flowers.
That was cute.
I mean, that was really sweet of you to do that. Like I said, there's a lot of things that I don't see, maybe it's just me being blind, like guys like doing anymore. And I think that's sweet to have the pumpkin of the, you know, rose out. But you said, like, after you guys had kids, you stopped?
Or, what? I'll say that again. Say that again.
You said after you guys had kids that you stopped bringing the roses?
Well, it was more, I didn't have the same job and I was working at a different place. I wasn't able to break away at lunch time. Yeah.
Well, how did you want to make any more comments to Stephen's farm?
Oh, well, you could tell Stephen has great farm memories of his grandmother and grandfather because he writes, this is probably the third, if not more, that he writes about it, his grandparents. And yeah, what a lovely story, you know. And you're right. It's relationships, as far as I know, have become a little more impersonal because that doesn't happen. You know, they don't know. Well, I wrote you an email. It's not the same. You know, when my wife loved handwritten notes. You know, when I was an electrician, in my lunch, there was always a note in there from her. It's the little things that keep the bonds tight, you know.
Exactly, little things. AP, you want to make a comment about Stephen's poem?
Yeah, when my ex and I got together eventually, 3 weeks after we got together, I got sent to with work to the other side of Australia for 7 months. And I only came back to Melbourne twice in that time. But every 2-3 days, I would write a letter to her, which, to my understanding, she still kept. So, you know, she had this big sort of shoebox worth of letters. And she had, you know, more letters from me than contact from me in about the first 7 months because, you know, I was just all over the shop working what I was doing. But as I said, to my understanding, she's still got them. So, putting that to one side, it's a lovely poem, and I love the rhyme scheme and the words, particularly the ice crystals on lashes and icicles on snout. It's really very clever. It's a great rhyme, lovely feel to the poem.
I know I liked that too, not because it's my name in it, because I know I kind of gravitate towards that, but I liked how that sounded almost kind of like, it definitely gave it more of a, like a poetic storybook kind of thing, like you could imagine like somebody telling a story or something about, and like how cold their face might have looked. I liked how he did
it. You know, I think Stephen figured out how important cadence is. The flow, because he's doing it so well.
Yeah.
You know, it reads easy, you know.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I see blue, and I'm sorry. Every time I'm going to see this person's name, even though I know that I have their poem in my show tonight, Pee-wee, I'm going to think of Pee-wee Herman the whole time, but anyway. But yeah, I see that they're on the board, so hi if they're listening. Like I said, I was going in alphabetical order, but thank you, Stephen, for poem tonight. Like I said, it was very, very bittersweet. And I love it that it seemed to bring out everybody's comment, bringing about, like, something with flowers for their wives or something, or something like that. I like that they brought that up. but yeah. Anyway, the next poem I have is Blues, and So if you guys have it, try and click twice.
We do.
Xylophonic blues.
Yes.
Brown blues. Here we go.
Stillness and snow. Folded pages are poetry's pantomime. Glaciers, Purdue flake fell with a gentle rocking motion lazily downwards. Tangled paper slumbers beneath petals of peridot. Cold air's lip gloss, frozen music pearls on ivory's bodice. Inward scent burns vanilla from tilted sun. Chilled flutes, spoken whispers, falling stars, celestial eyes tying invisible strings, listen for you. 2. The earth paused. A second flake of snow drifted in the frosty air, turning slowly, silently, soon joined by another, and then another, crossing unseen, down its cascade filled the air. Breath shared, common memory, a future possibly dreaming blind. An audience of sonnets, visual art, sculpture, wrapped in braille. I dare my mind to touch porcelain scorching ice, deeply, exquisitely, just there, just now, frequency shifting from the silken thread of my thoughts, alabaster champagne from orchid to moonflower oblique. Filament lanterns catching, manuka honey copper, dancing figurines and thunders, ashen icicles playing violin. Misshaped shadows in the muffled moonlight over the pathway that ran along its ridge. 3. Your words are caught, clouds reawaken under an arch-spun web. Catalea blossoms, electricity blue, sighing, hush, hush. Orion's moonlight, feathers fly, hoping to be found. Sundown slips backwards, the night's umbrellas of lucid ivory waves, shifting visuals on the edge as silhouettes. 4. Dawn awakens as the earth breathes, flux speckled shivering by minutes. Does it go unnoticed? Galactic sentinels, spellbinding apparition, ginger mist cloaks, under night liquid stars, Arctic splinted glare holding a vigil in the wintry dawn. 5. Earth's crystal meridians shiver in arithmetic sensation, embossed with gold leaf hieroglyphs defining the permanence of tomorrow. Lacy snowflakes creating perfect new patterns melting on eager tongues. To travel, to fly, to flow, of another wind, another snow, healing shall find always a place to glow. End poem.
Wow. Yeah, I was kind of looking over this poem as he was reading, but then kind of read ahead and stuff because I was just getting so much into the imagery, and there was especially there was a lot of lines that I really loved, but I guess I'll say a couple of them that really just, stuck out to me was the ivory bonnet, inward scent burns vanilla from tinted sun. I love that because you're kind of giving the snow almost a scent, that scent of vanilla. So I'm kind of giving a frosted kind of scent and feel and stuff. And then the other one that I liked was a ginger mist cloaks under night liquid stars. There's something really beautiful about that too. And I like how he brought out all these different kinds of scents and feels and kind of just glimmering feel. Like he gave snow so many different things of what I was just saying, the scents, the smells and how you see it and stuff like that in these different ways kind of makes it, as he says in the poem, a place to glow. So you can really see that in each one of these lines. But yeah, it's really, really beautiful. And it, like I said, it brings out the beauty of snow and everything and the beauty around. So thank you, Blue, for bringing that. Like I said, I have tons more lines that I liked more than that, but I stuck with the two that I liked the most. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, you're right. There are a lot of lines in there. The one that caught my attention was, "I dare my mind to touch porcelain's scorching ice." It's a great line. Yeah, you can get burned from something too cold, too. But, yeah, it was well thought out. Is there what's it called? Is this a vignette?
I want to say so, yes, I think, because those are the ones that usually come out and, like, usually people do them in Roman numerals. Then again, I don't know because I've only written one. So.
Cool.
AP, your thoughts?
Yeah, there's some beautiful, well, firstly, I should say, because Blue was listening, it was a very good read, by the way, Blue, so tick. But apart from that, like you, there's just a lot, it's a beautiful piece of abstract writing because it just ties a whole heap of different descriptions and words together in a way that are very evocative, and it's hard to single out one piece because they work so well as a whole. And I think for me, if I had to, I'm going to be drawn obviously to the last stanza, which is rhyming, because that's just who I am. But the piece has beautiful colours, has beautiful memories, and it evokes as you go through it. Lovely words. I love the word exquisite from the Latin. Beautiful word. Beautiful choice. And it's just full of those beautiful choices of words all the way through, Crystal.
Yeah, per the rules, that's a rhyming poem.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah, there are some bits of rhyme in there, yeah. But thank you again, Blue, for bringing it and everything. Like I said, it's really gorgeous. I always do enjoy reading his poetry. I think I have since the beginning of... So I remember him... I've heard a lot of people tell me that some of their first contests were mine, which is just a little old, but yeah, I do enjoy his poetry. So person I have on next, because I went ahead and skipped Deb because she told me she's about to call in a few minutes. So she's still not there. All right. So AP, I have yours on the board whenever you're ready to read.
Well, I should say too, Crystal, I only wrote this today, and if you go to the front page of All Poetry right now, you will see this poem on the front page. So the timing is very,
I just
very
see
good.
That too, front page pick. Wow.
So it's actually up there right now as I'm reading it. This is Common Heath, and this is a winter flower from my part of the world in Victoria. In Australia, it's the floral emblem of my state of Victoria, and quite a beautiful flower. And so this is called Common Heath, and it goes a little bit like this. Out in the deserts where ochre sands are wearing away, fine blows flung inconspicuous shrubs, beak on winds do weigh. Their foliage sharp with rough hewn their spidery arms, but in winter do rails of blooms open, and in their display are calm. Tiny coloured bells clamber carillion upon the breeze, as if arranged for a group of fairies ready to print and tease. Their colours white, through to then pink and darker red, their presence welcome in the dry, as towards seas they spread. End poem.
I definitely think you did it justice, because it has a lot of description to it. I've seen some people, when they're describing something, they literally just describe it, but I like it when people, like, really get deep in there and kind of give it, like I would, like, instead of just seeing a picture, I'm seeing a movie, almost, type thing, like seeing it actually. So I like that you kind of did it that way. And I like the tiny colored bells, because I'm just, and then bringing, or it definitely did make me smile a little bit with the group of fairies that were ready to primp and tease, because I'm just sitting there kind of imagining that. But yeah, and I like that you bring out the colors too, the pink and the red and everything, in the way that they can look and things. But yeah, that's really cool.
Thank you, Crystal. Thank you.
All right, and Hatter, your comment?
Are those thorns on that thing?
Yes, they are, Hatter. Okay. Yes, it is. Thorny.
Oh, God,
and
look
sharp.
At that.
Yeah.
Don't touch me.
Yeah.
My
beautiful
Lord.
Bells.
Everything.
Thorny and
Do you
sharp.
Have hummingbirds? Yep. Do you have hummingbirds?
We have a form of birds that are similar to hummingbirds. Yeah, so we don't have hummingbirds as such, but we have these things that look and do much the same thing. So I'm adding what effectively is our honey eater on the board now, Hatter. So, that you get to see a native bird.
All right.
So,
what are they
called? Oh, really? Wow.
I'm going to tell you in one tick when I actually find where the heck I put it, because I don't know, but I'll be with you, Crystal, in two ticks. Hold that thought.
Okay.
So, it's why isn't it not telling you this? I can see the bird, and it won't tell me its name. It's an eastern spinebill. It's an eastern spinebill. Native to Australia, and you can see the curved beak. Yeah, so it gets into native flowers like the heath and the grevillea and the banksia and all that stuff. Yeah.
And it can hover. And it can hover. And
it hovers.
It can fly backwards. Can it fly backwards?
Yes, it can. And fly backwards, and it can hover. Yes.
Wow.
So there you go. Eastern spinebill but no hummingbirds, Hatter. You won't find a hummingbird here, but you will find a spinebill.
Yeah, I thought the hummingbird was the only one that could be able to fly backwards, but
no spinebill.
Maybe they're talking northern hemisphere. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Probably. Pretty bird.
Yeah.
Hey, pretty bird. Pretty bird.
Yes, that came out well.
Excellent. Yeah, and that would be really pretty. You said it's a desert.
Yes.
Flower.
Yes. It basically is mostly in the desert parks of Victoria. It has got towards the sea, so I actually. It's in the state park that borders on the ocean near where my grandparents used to live. So I used to see it in my grandparents' farm.
It'd be really pretty, yeah.
It is. Really, it's really, really cute, yeah.
A little bit, I'd say, favors hummingbird a tiny bit, but it looks a little bit bigger than a hummingbird, but that might just be the picture.
Yeah, I don't think they're not that big. Hummingbirds are not that big, but neither are spinebills. They're only 20 centimetres or something like that. They're not big.
So do you have spinebill feeders? Do you have spinebill feeders?
Hawks or eagles, yeah. So, yeah, we have, the Great American Eagle, of course, yeah.
The feeders at the hummingbird. We have hummingbird feeders that they hover around and drink.
No,
I just want
no. I, being Australian, I sort of thought when you said that, Hatter, which things go and kill it, because that's immediately what I thought, because that's an Australian thing to do. But no, I haven't never seen a spinebill feeder as such. I've seen plenty of wedge-tailed eagles take them out of the sky, but I've never actually seen a feeder.
Cool. Bring my camera.
The show where I would say the more you know.
There you go.
I mean, that is the thing about all poetry and all this and stuff like that. Because I remember when I first came on the site and everything, and there were a lot of things that I knew, like from other countries, there was like words I knew people used or how they spelt things or stuff like that. But there was times where there were words that I didn't know, and then I thought it was a word that they just misspelled, and then I would like send them a message or a comment or something. Like, I used to just be, well, I'm not going to say it was hateful, but sometimes I was like, I think you misspelled that. And they're like, no, this is just the way that I spell it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It is kind of the more you know type thing.
Yeah, they like to put the E at the end for no reason, or a U, or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I wasn't even thinking of those. Those I kind of knew, but there would be like other words where I was like, I don't even remember them now. Like, there's a long time ago, but I just remember that it was very like instead of them like using an S for something, they would use a C for something, and I was like.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. All good fun. But I only did that because of the show, Crystal. So that was worthwhile. Just sort of showing up and doing that this morning, because otherwise I wouldn't have written it. So thank you.
And you know, there was.
Well, I'm glad that it already has
famous...
a front page pick. Sorry, go ahead, Heather.
Yeah, really.
It was good. I think you'll find Deb's got one as well for hers. But we've got two out of the show already.
Wow. What about me? Jeez.
I don't know. They may not have seen you yet, Hatter. You may not have been up on the board long enough.
I know. I don't really search for that. But no, I wanted to say for the next read, there was a famous baseball player. I believe he played for the Giants. It was Pee Wee Reese.
I think I heard of that. But he was actually saying on the board that it actually was a nickname, Pee Wee Herman. He was 2 years old. So, as soon as I saw the name earlier, that's the first thing that came to my head, which I'm pretty sure a lot of people, that's what they think of. But, yeah.
Great.
All right, well, before I go ahead and play his poem, because he is up next, Dev has just been here listening to us talk about birds and weird stuff. So everybody say hi to Dev.
Hello.
Hi, Dev.
Hello. Good to hear everyone.
Good. All right, so how it's going to go from here, like I said, I have Huey's on the board, about to play his SoundCloud. And then Deb, I skipped over yours because I was doing them in order, so I'll have you read next, and then we'll end with Hatter and mine, and then we'll be done for the night. Let me go ahead and find his SoundCloud, which is right here.
Cold Roses and Crimson Kisses by Pee Wee Q-Sonic. A cold, desolate bridge casting a silhouette against the barren gray, frigid wintertime skies. Revolver in hand, light, stock, smoke final, cigarette. Struggling to find the proper words to say goodbye. She finally broke me, sweetheart, near death, winding. Torturous road traveled to end like this is. Flowers in your hand, entombed forever in a breath. And snow, all you had, cold roses and crimson kisses.
So why do I feel like I just walked into like a poetry kind of, what exactly would you call it? Mind the blank. But I feel like an open poetry type thing that you'd find in like a bar or something. Because like with the jazz music and everything, like I'm just imagining people around, like drinking and listening and stuff like that. Like some kind of jazz club, something. Because I guess maybe it was just the music. I'm not sure. But even the way that he was like reading the poem and stuff like that, it gave that kind of feel. So I find that to be really cool. But yeah, I like the imagery in this and stuff, and even how he ends it, like with the title, with the cold roses and the crimson kisses. It kind of gives it a bit of like that kind of feeling. But like I said, I also see like a little bit of everything in here, though, kind of bringing up like the barren and the winter time and stuff like that. And then in the end of it, kind of you just, I don't know, it kind of gives like a bit of a seasonal depression almost. I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking over it. But I definitely like the way that he read it and everything, and the way that it was kind of broken down, showing the different parts of how a winter can end or even begin. So yeah, thank you for bringing this, and like I said, having a SoundCloud and stuff like that. Love hearing new voices. So yeah. Let me get a comment from Hatter.
Yeah, I think it was that beatnik we should be snapping our fingers. It was the horn, the trumpet with the mute in it. Sounded like it had a mute. They gave it that basement beatnik sound feeling anyway. Very raw piece. She finally broken you. She'd finally broken you, sweet harbinger of death. Yeah, women can make you feel that way sometimes. Just saying.
I feel like anybody can make you feel that way sometimes, but I mean, but yeah, on that header. AP, what did you think?
I felt like I walked into a poetry speakeasy somewhere in the middle of New Orleans somewhere. And
that's what I was saying.
Yeah? That's the best way I can describe it. The closest place I've come to this would be the Poetry Cafe in central London, but this was obviously far more smoky and dingy. And it's that sort of setting that was really well set up, I think. And the words fitted with it, and it's a dark piece, but it's very elegantly written, and I enjoyed the words.
I've actually tried to do like poetry night things and stuff like that. There used to be some kind of cafe or something where I live. And then whenever I called and stuff, because, like, I was trying to find, like, the website or everything, and they told me, they're like, we don't do those things anymore. And I was like, darn it. It was, like, when I had start writing poetry and stuff, and I wanted to go do one of those things, and they completely canceled it. And they said because nobody had an interest in it, and I was like, of course.
Well, we had a similar thing here, Crystal, and it was in a old Irish pub, and it got bought out by the school next door to become their next set of classrooms. And so where the sort of last spoken poetry word is now a whole heap of kids doing classes on history. It's a bit sad, really.
I'm also just kind of imagining a school that changed from a pub.
I just thought you were going to say the same
thing. Yeah.
Well, it's got plenty of shelves for textbooks, Crystal. You know,
that's
and
true.
You've got the serving area and you've got desks out in front. I mean, you know, I can see it.
You just got some random bottles of alcohol in the corner and like, kids, don't mess with those. Just focus on your
study. Yeah, that's it. That's it. You just have to replace them with Gatorade or something, you know, or something, I guess.
Oh, man. I could just imagine like the little like beer tap things and just pouring out Gatorade for the kids. Yeah. Made this completely wrong.
Anyway, there you go. I'm just saying, you know.
Don't
you go.
All right. And, Deb, make a comment for him, and then I'm going to put yours on the board.
Awesome. Thanks. Yeah. You know, I agree with all the comments about that jazzy, speakeasy-ish feel. You could almost smell the cigarette smoke in the air, and like he had just finished one last shot, and he's having that cigarette, and he recalls the sadness, the ache. And I'm blown away by the fact that it's just four couplets, but it's very, very impactful, especially the second couplet, revolver in hand, lock, stock, smoke, a final cigarette, struggling to find the proper words to say goodbye. It's when you're at rock bottom and you're so sad and you feel alone and you just don't know what comes next, and she just or he just broke you, and you know you're teetering, and that's the feel I got, the overwhelming need to say, don't do it, sleep on it, it'll be okay. It's like, wow, I got four couplets, and it's a devastation, pretty wicked.
And thank you, Kiwi, also for bringing that to the show and stuff like that, and welcome to, like, I don't know if he's been in any other shows, but I'm glad that you joined mine and stuff. Yeah. Oh, good. I'm not gonna say oh good because I want him to do other shows, but thank you for coming to mine. But yeah. Deb, whenever you're ready to read.
Okay. Well, first I have a disclaimer because earlier I had told AP that mine was chosen for the front page too, and then when I clicked on here, I realized that it was actually my write for K's thing Monday, but still it was just like, this one is the one that I had mentioned that kicked all my others down a peg and took over the first place in my order rank. So
there you go.
Still a really awesome topic, and this one's image filled. Of course, I pulled out the crayons, and it's called Silver Snowflakes Frosted the Flowers and Red Fruit. And here we go. Blooms of ornamental cabbage and kale border the purple crocus and pansy bed, coloring all the wraparound porch edges, with winterberry holly adding pops of red from the bushes that bookend the stairs. By the pair of carved wooden lion heads, night chases the sun from the landscape. Hail pelts rooftops as ice rain coats wires, and as thermometers drop from the chills, chimney smoke rise from fireplace fires. Parents read the bedtime storybooks and tuck the children in bed for the night. Winter breezes whirl and snowflakes twirl, then frost powder coats the trees in white. Now the icy branches glitter in the beams as the moon tosses down neon opal light. Snowbirds land on their arboreal condos, hunkering in nests built in springtime. Two owls hunt squirrels neath moonlight, and snowflakes fall, tapping wind chimes. Wind gusts rock all the treetop branches, swinging the evergreen tips in the icy air. Terracotta porch planters hold iris bulbs, blooming by the yellow Adirondack chair that Grandpa built in the barn out back. Dawn ushers the sun and the rays glare. Backyard birds scan the yard for berries, now spotlighted as the amber sun crests. But as the birds land on the bush to feast, cat burglar blue jays rob cardinal nests, singing the morning musical as they soar, puffing up shades of blue on their breasts. 8 inches of snow blanket all the lawns. Icicles hang from the rain gutters in view. But the frosted fruit-filled breakfast bushes feed the avian critters drawn to the red hue. And poem.
Oh, I mean, I know you said it didn't have a front page pic, but it needs a front page pic because I was kind of just sitting in awe, bringing out all the, like you were saying, bringing out all the colors. But I really liked just how this kind of gave this whole, almost this whole, like, kind of story type thing. Like, I feel like you could have this as, like, a little, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, it's like showing all of this, like, imagery and stuff like that, like, almost like you're, like, a little short film almost kind of thing, like, on nature, something you might see on, like Disney's Natures or something like that. It kind of came to my head. But I really like that you bring out the little holly berries, which I always like to sing those in the winter, like that, where you see, like, little poinsettias, which I do love poinsettias. They're very beautiful. But I like that you bring out the little bits of red and everything, and then and even how you, I love it how you bring out, like, with, like, the dawn and the sun, because, like, you, it's like you going through the night and then you come to the morning and then you're bringing out all the little birds and stuff like that that are out and things, and trying to find these berries, but then there's all this, like, snow that's on the ground and everything. Like I said, you bring out the red colors very, very beautifully. Like I said, the imagery is what got me, because I was just picturing all of this while you were reading, kind of like a, like I said, like a video in my head. So great job, Deb.
Thank you so much, Crystal. Glad you liked it.
And Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, you can tell a person that has lived in the snow where snow falls, but because a blonde kid from California with nose nothing of ice rain coated wires. These are great lines. Winterberry, holly, adding pops of red in the bushes. And what birds are those? Is that cardinal?
Yeah, there's the cardinals. It's a male and a female at the top, and then underneath is male, then a blue jay, and then the newer species of yellow cardinal, which is actually kind of sad, a female, and then the berries themselves. But the yellow cardinal, there's been 14 sightings in the United States. And the reason I know this is because I saw one in the backyard and didn't know there was a such thing as a yellow cardinal, where there didn't used to be. The beautiful reds are fading because of the environment, and his beautiful feathers are a sign of loss, because he can't be red, so he's bullied. But he's beautiful, and yeah.
Yeah, I walked. I was up by Georgetown, which is a famous town in Northern California in the Gold Country, and I was walking down a fire path down into the canyon, and walked around this corner, and here sat a. I had seen the other pheasant around, but in front of me was this golden pheasant. It was absolutely gorgeous. I'd never seen one. They're from Asia. I don't know what it was doing in Northern California. It must have escaped from someplace. But absolutely beautiful. That's what it reminded me. So there's a difference between an oriole and a cardinal, I'm assuming. You can tell by the mask, I guess, right? And the beak.
Yeah. And most of them, like I said, are a vibrant red. But nowadays, yeah, they're actually more of a, I guess it would be tomato or persimmon, because if you look at them through the binoculars, they're actually fading to a dark orange color. But now this new one is a mutation, a genetic mutation, and they don't go to the orange or the red, they stay yellow. And like I said, I find them simply beautiful, and only looked this up because there was one in the yard and I had never seen one, didn't know they existed. And it's because they hadn't. It's a beautiful, rare.
What did you mean you said that they stay yellow? are cardinals yellow as when they're
No,
young?
There's no cardinals are supposed to be deep dark red.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
okay, I just thought you
Yeah, okay. No. So the mutation has created this new breed of yellow ones. So I don't know if it's not really a new breed, it's a mutated cardinal which produces yellow feathers. And
well, you know, most plumages is determined by their what they eat. Like a flamingo is the pink shirt. Okay.
But the red cardinals are just red birds, and over the years they've slowly faded towards dark orange colors, but this new mutation has created this gorgeous yellow cardinal that, of course,
beautiful.
It's different, and we don't know anything about it, so or the other birds don't, so they pick on him.
Yeah. And Crystal, you had mentioned things that you learn from the shows and what we do here. I know what an Adirondack chair is. I didn't know what it was called before. Those uncomfortable wood ones.
Yeah, the uncomfortable ones.
Yeah, uncomfortable as hell. Adirondack.
Yeah, that's the other thing that caught me. Like, I know what it is, but, like, I've never seen it in a poem or really in much of anything. So I saw that, and I was like, huh. I was like, that's not something someone usually some kind of writing. That's interesting. But I liked it because it was different.
I think we had the prompt of the beach one time, and maybe it was Deborah that wrote of Adirondack. Somebody did.
Yeah, it was me, and I put them on the board for you so you could see what they were. You were like, oh, yeah. But, yeah.
I remember that.
It's a brand, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a brand, okay.
Yeah. They're made up here in New England. And I think in the Cape Cod area, but I'm not positive about that part. But yeah, because they're lower to the ground so that you can sit and like put your feet in the sand on the beach and stuff like that, and it tilts ever so slightly so that you're sort of lounging, but not quite. So yeah, it's a style and a brand. And I like the word, so every now and then, if it fits, I use it. And I'm impressed that you remembered it.
that's like Derringer. There were other Colt and Remington. They all had small little guns too, but they're all called Derringer for some reason. Anyway, my turn. I see my poem.
I got to get a comment from AT first, and then you're.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was gonna make a comment and then disappear if that's okay. I was reading this and I was thinking about the writing of a lady called Gertrude Crampton. Do you remember Gertrude Crampton, Deb?
I kind of remember the name, but I don't know why.
Okay. Well, Gertrude Crampton was the train, and she wrote Scuppy the Tugboat. And the reason I say that is because I just think this poem could be a little golden book for kids. It's just really cute. And it's got beautiful descriptions, and it's just like a whole book sitting in front of you in terms of a kid's story. So I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you.
I can't believe you used morphine, and you're going to understand why in a minute. Oh,
cool.
No, never mind.
Okay, I'm going to disappear, Hatter, and Crystal,
okay.
And we'll talk soon.
All right.
Love and respect.
Thank you for calling, AP.
Yeah.
Thank you, Crystal.
Have a good night. Or day, or whatever time it is. All right, Hatter. Whenever you're ready.
Oh. Okay. It's called Brings to Me My Winter Flowers. It was like this. The stair that caught the bitter freeze beyond the shadows of the moon, broken down before the dawn, morphing light as it starts to bloom. Painting dots on virgin pages, gathered thoughts, comes in stages, reaching out to break the glass, memories of colored past. running lines to stripe the panes, streaking down and back again, secrets held in twisted knots, flailing by my idle thoughts. Counting drops in wasted hours brings to me my winter flowers. In poem.
Of course, we have to have that long pause and then end poem. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I really, there's like some things that came to mind throughout this poem. But I was going to say, kind of like the way that it ends and stuff like that, the wasted hours of the winter flowers. Like, I kind of imagine, like, sitting there, kind of examining flower almost, kind of like, it seems like it's a wasted time, but yet, like, it seems like it's only there for a short time, but then at the same time, it doesn't seem like it is wasted. The other thing that came to mind, too, was reaching out to break the glass of memories of colored past. I don't know why that brought to me, but I love these, and I've written about them several times, these stained glass windows, and that kind of, like, a lot of times it tells, like, a story. It has some kind of picture or something like that. So when I was thinking of breaking the glass of colored past, that kind of came to my head, like, a picture that you would see, but it's, like, from behind you or something like that, and it's just that stained glass. It's just kind of like the stained glass of the mind. But yeah, I really like where you went with this, though, because it is very poetic. I will say that much. A little bit different matter. I'd say it has your rhyming and stuff, but it's a tad bit different than some rhyming that I'm used to you doing. That, and I also like the virgin pages. I don't know. I like the way that, sounded. I guess I just really like the second stanza. Great job, Heather.
Thank you very much.
And Deb, what did you think?
You know, Heather, like the second one, painted dots on virgin pages, gathered thoughts come in stages, reaching out to break the glass, memories of colored past, and secrets held in twisted knots. Flailing by my idle thoughts, counting drops and wasted hours, brings me to my winter flowers. There's such a sadness. You're brought back to the memory of the winter flower, but the gathered thoughts seem sad, and reaching out to break the glass, it's like frustration. A whole lot of sadness. This is another piece tonight that doesn't have a whole lot of lines, but it's got a whole lot of impact as far as grabbing the emotions, especially when you, by the time you get to the last two stanzas, there are couplets there in that count and counting the drops in wasted hours. It has the same kind of feel as the sands running low and the hourglass type of feel for me. But brings me to my winter flowers. And in most cases, a person's first thought is that there's not flowers in winter. And then because of Crystal sending us on this little journey, I was surprised at how many very powerful flowers can make it through the winter. Who knew? I mean, I knew there were berries, but I didn't know that so many flowers actually thrived in the winter the way they do. So that was very impressive. So was your poem, Hatter.
Thank you. Yeah, I've actually seen the winter flowers bloom through the ice in the Sierras, the Sierra Mountains. Yeah, you don't expect it. What the hell is that over there? Usually under the trees.
Yeah. I mean, you expect to see flowers pop through the ground in spring, and then they're around, and then you just... Other than evergreens, you can imagine everything turning gray and brown, but you don't think about the flowers until Crystal had me looking for an angle to bring the flowers to life. And any angle that helps push a species like that pretty yellow cardinal is a good chance to tie them in, so that's why I went the way I did. But, yeah, I had no idea. And there's, like, more than 20 that are considered winter. Even a daffodil
because it's one of the first ones to break through in spring, quite often in the snow, because, you know, you get late snow. So
we have near me, it's about 20-minute drive, 30 minutes, to a place called Daffodil Hill, and it's quite a spectacle, just rolling hills of different colored daffodils. But where I live down in the San Francisco area, before it was all built up, we had rolling hills along Interstate 80 if you were coming towards going east out of San Francisco, Oakland. There were rolling hills, and in the winter, after the first rains and the green grass started growing high, the poppies would grow, and the whole hillside would be orange, bright orange, and it was just absolutely beautiful.
I was just going to mention that. I actually saw that because it made the news, because there's like one road that leads to this area, and people flock there at that time of year to see these poppies, and they have signs trying to get you not to because it messes up the traffic and everything, but I've seen photos of it, and it's phenomenal. They really do just, it's like they invade that hillside, and it's stunning.
Yeah, when I was a kid, those rolling hills of wildflowers were prominent. They were all over the place. The Daffodil Hill, they asked people not to come anymore because that's the one they're also getting. Just the volume of people, just lays the land down, ruins it, and it's a shame. But
they were saying they couldn't
look at pictures.
Emergency people couldn't get in, and school buses couldn't get around. I mean, it's that much of an attraction, apparently.
But poppies, there's nothing more orange than a freaking California poppy. In a whole hillside. In comment.
Sorry, Crystal.
Oh, no, I'm just listening. I swear, I don't mind. I'm often just listening because, like what we've been saying about, like, the different things that you learn, and, like I know, like, every one of us, like Hatter's California, New Jersey, I'm here in Louisiana, like, a bunch of different states and stuff like that, and, like, AP, like, in Australia, like, we're going to learn different things, so it's interesting to hear, and I'm glad that it had you, like, research to you. I don't even know what came to me to make a prompt of winter flowers. I just was like, I looked at the schedule, and I was like, oh, shoot. I was like, I'm about to have a podcast. I might want to come up with an idea, and then I just hit add topic, and then I was like, because I was thinking of doing open poetry, but then I don't know why, it just suddenly, winter flowers, which I have been writing a couple of poems on winter flowers, so that might have been what came through my head. But I was thinking about that. It's not something that you do typically see that often, but when you do, it's kind of a little beautiful, and you don't think about that many flowers being in winter, especially not surrounded by snow. No.
Especially since I had heard like the crocus and the irises and the daffodils, and I had heard of all these. I just had no idea they were strong enough to survive winters, you know?
Hmm. No, I always thought it was... That's weird that you're bringing up irises, because I think my poem that I'm about to read in a few minutes has irises in it. I didn't even think about that. That's interesting. But I think I may have known that that's considered a winter flower, but I'm not sure. But what I'm going to do first, though, is I'm going to go ahead and do, like, some announcements and thank yous and stuff, and then read mine. I told... Hatter and AP earlier that I was going to do a little bit of a shorter show because I was still kind of recovering from the food poisoning and stuff. I don't feel horrible. It's just kind of more, I've been still a little bit tired. I did go to work today, but I didn't go to work yesterday because I was like, I just did not feel like working. I just refused. So, but yeah. So,
oh, it's fine.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's never, like, we're not going to chain you to the studio until the 2 hours is up.
Yeah. This one I wasn't going to have like, a slew of poems either. That would be weird, like, leave me hostage. Like, all of a sudden, just grabs me handcuffs. Okay, you're stuck to the studio.
Right? You're stuck, period. Too bad. But, wow, had her great picture on the board.
Yeah, and that doesn't do it justice. That doesn't do him justice, but.
Yeah, that is very cool. It almost looks like, I don't know if anyone knows what this is, like, at least where I come from, but oftentimes you have those, like, very orange dirt roads.
Clay roads, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah, California red dirt in the foothills is terrible stuff.
Yeah, we have that sporadically around here, too.
Yeah.
It's obnoxious.
Well, if you see orange dirt where I live, beware of fire ants. So that's usually what we have.
Oh,
they
bite.
Yeah, they're bad. And then, like, and then you just have these, like, little red bites just all over your feet normally. And, like, you have to be careful where you walk, too, even if you have shoes on.
Don't stand still. That, I learned that in Idaho. Don't stand still anywhere for very long.
Yeah, you never know what you'll run into.
Good thing you learned that, Hatter, because there's all kinds of deadly critters in Oz. Just saying.
Oh, AP shared the picture of some wildflower, desert wildflowers. And if you look at them, go back in the chat, I asked him if those are thorns on that stalk. He goes, oh, yes, they are. Everything in Australia wants to hurt you.
That's out to get you.
Yeah, and then he was talking about their versions of hummingbirds and stuff, and he was saying that those birds actually like to attract to the plant, and I was like, a bird attracting the thorns, interesting. But I mean, I guess if a bird's going to go after a flower, I don't think they're going to look at the thorns.
Yeah, I think that the picture that AP had with his poem shows deadly beauty quite perfectly there, because those aren't some little thorns, those are big. And compared to the size of the little trumpet part of the flower, they're monstrous thorns, damn.
I mean, well, you think about a cactus, though, because a lot of times flowers grow on cactuses, and what are cactuses? Are cacti,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and those things get you like a piece of glass from fiberglass and they get into your skin and you don't want
it
out.
It's the prickly pear cactus has invisible little needles. And
It's if you get one, yeah.
It's a prickly pear. And I'll tell you what, it's deadly. Can't even see them. And they're constantly stabbing you.
Right. All right. Well, let's let our gorgeous hostess finish up so she can get some rest.
Okay. No, I didn't mind the conversation. But yeah, thank you to everyone that called in tonight, and which I know is only mainly AP, Hatter, and Deb, but also to the people that wrote for the show, Stephen, Blue, and Pee Wee. Thank you. And first shows in the next week. I know Sweet has her show tomorrow, which is The Power of Two at 10 p.m. Eastern. I guess going to be about never seeing another 2-2-2-23, which that is true. We never will.
We'll have the time clock. Set up for you next time you host Punch In and Punch Out.
and also for Friday, I see that it's Linda's show, Liquid Damage Lounge, and she's doing open poetry, and hers is also at 10 p.m. Eastern. And then I know Deb and Hatter, you have your Hatter Day Saturday, which I feel the topic is peppers. So,
yeah.
I don't, when I'm thinking of that, I'm trying to think what all I'm thinking of, because I'm thinking of like hot peppers, but I'm also thinking of bell peppers. I don't know. So,
yeah, all kinds of
possibilities
there.
No, I know what the next Saturday is going to be, though. It's not going to be about peppers, though, because we discussed it earlier. It was going to be about food poisoning.
did you hear that, Deb?
Yeah.
No.
She wasn't there.
The gag report.
Yeah. accidentally, like I was saying about doing a show about foods that we don't like, and AP didn't hear that. He was like, I'm not sure if people would want to do a show on food poisoning. And I was like, no. And I was like, yeah, you should have quite a few people that it would either ask for a reader or no one would call in. Like, no one would want to hear poems on that. Like, imagine.
Yeah, you never know. We
you
are
have
a strange bunch.
I mean, it is an interesting subject, and I was just saying, like, I mean, if somebody did it, like, I guess they ran out of ideas.
Well, no, because it would be one of those, like, you know, how your curiosity is piqued, and then you want to hear what things set who off, like, what did you eat? Well, one time I ate blah, 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 and I was, you know what I mean? So it could be weird, but cool, you know?
Well,
she was
talking about food. She said, that would make a great contest. And I go, food poisoning? Great show.
yeah.
Just never know.
No.
Well, you get a great
Monday, we're featuring Steven 7-6. Be there or be square.
All right. Steven Andercase.
I'm going to look at some of those prompts and stuff. I had had to listen to Monday's show. I kind of wrote that poem for Kay kind of at the last minute, but then I got all these comments saying how cute and everybody thought it was, and I was like, oh, okay. Like I was right before I had any type of sickness or anything, because I was like, oh, I need to write for the show. I asked for a picture, and then I forgot about it, and then I sat down and wrote for a few minutes, and then I'd say probably about an hour later, that's when I started feeling sick, and I was like, oh, shoot.
Well, sometimes you sit down, and with no pressure, you just write something, and then it surprises you, and like some of the best poems come out of not overthinking it, just going with what you feel, you know?
Yeah. Well, I know, like, hey, really
topic.
Love cats, and that's why I like that. Thank you, Deb.
Really,
like I said, it kind of just randomly came to me. All right. Well, let me go ahead and read mine. And Deb and Pat, you think you know the drill. Like, if you want to comment. I'm not asking. So. Anyway,
I feel you.
All right. This is called Ice Orchard of Snowflake Showers. Morning dew glances. Or glazes like crystallized honey dripping onto stained glass window panes. Glacier gumdrops dance on chimney edges with icicle irises melting with light rain. Winter's chill grows bitter through breezes frosted by the ice orchards of frozen flowers. Sunlight beckons beneath silver gray clouds, whispering with sparkles of snowflake showers. End poem.
Whispering.
Well, let's start with the title, Ice Orchids of Snowflake Showers. I think just the title is really gorgeous. And then I liked that second one, Glacier Gumdrops Dance on Chimney Edges with Icicle Irises Melting with the Light Rain. I thought that was really cool because you could picture them, the little teeny icicles that come like beads of sweat, and then you could see them melting with as the fireplace gets warmer and the chimney heats up. And then at the end there, sunlight beckons behind silver gray clouds, whispering with sparkles of snowflake showers. Another one tonight with four couplets. The first one was Mega Emotions, and this one's a cascade of gorgeous images that takes you all the way through to those snowflake showers that we started up in the title. So it's a beautiful brevity, Crystal.
Love it.
Yeah,
what
great,
you think,
great line. Great line, the icicles, I mean the ice orchids with frozen flowers. Yeah, I love strong brevity poems, and this is one. Whispering with sparkles of snowflake showers, whispering. There is a grass, and they say there's a flower also that when the wind blows just right, it actually whistles. Have you heard anything about that?
I think I've heard of that, yeah. I think I have heard of that.
Yeah,
if the grass gets a certain kind of dryness, if it can have a whistling sound a little bit.
Yeah, it's eerie. I don't even know which grass or flowers it was, but I've heard it before.
Mm.
But it reminded me of the glacier gumdrops dance on chimney edges. Icicle irises right there. Melting with light rain. I didn't even know it was rhyming until it was over. Nice.
Thanks, Heather, and thank you, Deb. That pretty much concludes the show. And like I said to anybody that was listening, check out the shows for tomorrow and everything. And thank you everyone that called and wrote for the show. And I thought of the other thing I thought of was going in the love direction, because I know soon there's going to be Valentine's shows, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of those. So. Or somewhere around there, thinking outside the box.
Valentine's Day.
We usually go dark and bloody around Valentine's Day, hence the amazing image that Sweet Pea has posted for Valentine's Week. Just saying.
I know I have seen that before, and I even thought of that.
Does it land on her day?
Valentine's Day is on a Tuesday this year, and Sweet Show's on a Thursday. But still, I think she said since it's after Valentine's Day, and she really, really fell in love with a photo that I had sent her, so much so that she got a contest going and a show going for it.
Oh, really?
And,
all right.
Yeah, I just looked at the prompt. Yeah.
Yeah, the picture is really
a
awesome.
Cool-looking photo. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm probably going to go ahead and end this episode.
Valentine's Day is sky's day. Just saying.
Oh, is it?
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Valentine was a killer, man.
Right?
He really is. I mean, at least we have the 15th, though. The 15th is so much better because then all the chocolate goes on sale.
Amen.
This is the best. I don't ever, even if I have like a significant other or not, I don't care about Valentine's Day. It's like I would rather just buy the candy afterwards or something or so. Like I don't think anything of the holiday, because I think like if you're going to celebrate somebody, you celebrate them every day, not just one day. I feel like it's just an excuse for some people to get gifts or something, but that's the way I
commercial baloney.
Commercial baloney, exactly.
Invented by a greeting card company to make money.
That
you're
was Mother's
a wise
Day,
woman, Crystal.
Did they do that? The Mother's Day, too?
Yep.
I feel like Mother's Day is kind of needed a little bit, though. I do think it is a little bit on the commercial baloney, but at the same time, I feel like it's more important, though, because it's like you're celebrating a really important job, because it's a job that never ends. Like, you think of, like, being a parent, like it's 24 hours. It's never going to stop.
Yeah, I was going to say, I say celebrate your mother and your father every single day, because you're going to really, really miss them, and the whole world is going
going to change for you once they're gone. Just saying.
Yeah.
Call your mother.
Well, technically, my mother is in the other room. But
well, just shout out
I'll
that you love her after your show's over. Just saying.
Oh,
reminder. You know those reminders that I send out now and then so you remember how awesome you are? Your mom needs one of them now and then, too.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to go ahead and end the show. Exactly.
All right. Be that way.
All right. Good night. All right. Good night, guys.
Great
All
show,
right.
Chris.
Good show.
Love and respect,
yeah,
everyone.
Show.
See you tomorrow at Sweet Show.
Exactly.